Shortly after arriving in Australia, I was invited to join a Christian-based choir called the Adelaide Harmony Choir. And we were invited to sing at the largest Baptist church in Adelaide. And before the concert, we were going to have the evening meal in the church parlors, at which time the president of the choir stood up to return thanks. And he said, "Lord, for that which we are about to partake, make us truly thankful." That seemed to be the ordinary prayer for the ordinary Christian, and I took it interestingly. Are we thankful, or do we have to be made thankful? The Bible says, "In everything give thanks." In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we have that, and then in Colossians 4:2, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Philippians 4, verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." When one prays, what does one expect? An answer to prayer? God's will to be done, or His approval of our own personal will? What do we pray for? How can one experience Ephesians 5, verse 20? Well, I think we'll go back to verse 19 for the answer to that question. So I start with Ephesians 5, verse 19. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." How do you suppose Paul could experience the likes of Romans 5 and verse 3? "I glory in tribulation." Rather difficult, isn't it? To be thankful for the trials and tribulations that often come upon us. He said several times, not just once, but many times, like in Romans 12, verse 12, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, serving the Lord." I'm reminded of a little boy who was at the table with father and mother, and as was the habit, the father bowed his head and gave thanks for the food they were about to eat, which is the right thing to do. And then when the dishes were uncovered, he began to complain. The potatoes were not cooked enough. The spinach was bland. The bread was old and hard. Little boy, in his innocent way, piped up, "What is God going to believe? We're thankful or we're complaining?" If that wasn't so true to life and so serious, it would be rather funny. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4, "Great is my boldness in speech toward you. Great is my glorying in of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulations." I think he had to learn that through suffering. And that may be one of the very reasons why God allows these things to happen, that we might grow in the grace and the faith of Christ. Remember the occasion of Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail? In Acts 16, verse 25, at midnight, the darkest hour, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. The prisoners heard them. "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below." And when you praise Him, you're thanking Him for who He is, what He's doing, what He has done, what He's going to do. Praising God for all things. Giving thanks always for all things. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. One of the great hymns of the faith, Now Thank We All Our God. You know where it comes from? Martin Rinkhart was the author. He was a pastor, a Lutheran pastor, in the German town of Eilenburg. He lived from 1586 to 1649, and during that time, and the year was in 1637, when the Swedes were occupying Germany, surrounding Eilenburg, which was a walled city, and many of the country folk took refuge in that city. A plague hit, which was not uncommon in those days of the 17th century. They were dying. We might use the expression, they were dying like flies. One day, Mr. Rinkhart, Pastor Rinkhart, had 40 funerals in one day. Hundreds were dying. There were two other pastors at the start of this, and one died and one left, leaving him alone as the only pastor in town. One night, dead tired, he just kind of slumped into the house. His children were accustomed to having him tuck them in, and it came to mind, who is in charge? Who runs my life? Who is seeing me through this? Why am I still alive, able to do his work while others are dying all around me? Why is my family still intact? Even though I can't provide food for them, I can't provide clothes, I can't provide anything for them. We are struggling. But God, and the words came to mind, and I'm not sure if he sang the song or just repeated the words to his children, because perhaps the melody had not come to mind yet. But he said, Now thank we all our God with heart and soul and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom my heart rejoices. Oh my. Talk about glory in tribulation. Well, the question comes to our minds. It must. Who runs your life? Who is Lord? Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. Reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed. And I stress that word indeed. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For me to live is Christ. How much of our tribulation is the result of our own attitudes? Or, more likely, our own disobedience? Chris Grunewald, retired layman, formed, well, perhaps a one-man show, but he had an organization called Have Bible, Will Travel. And he was an excellent Bible teacher. I saw a video of him one time. Excellent. Captivating. Well, he was given a month or two to live. The doctor says, there's nothing we can do for you. You're going to have to die. Oh, did he rejoice. His wife said the last month of his life was like a little boy anticipating a great holiday. And indeed it was. Chris Grunewald anticipating to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. I'm reminded of Joseph in Egypt. You'll see this account back in Genesis 50 in verses 19 and 20. Jacob had died. Joseph called his brothers to him and said to them, Fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Accepting God's will. We find it difficult to do that. Abraham and Lot, Genesis 13, they could not get along. Well, Abraham had been told to depart from your kindred, but Lot, his nephew, was with him. And Lot's shepherds and Abraham's shepherds were fighting in disagreement. They had to part. So we read in Genesis 13, verse 10, where Lot chose the plains of Jordan, well watered. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. Notice that. Genesis 12, verse 1, God had promised to Abraham, unto a land I will show thee. And the end? Genesis 13, verse 15, after Lot departed, God said to Abraham, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee. The promise, the Palestinian covenant. Remember the parable the Lord told of the publican and the Pharisee? The Pharisee in Luke 18, verse 10 and on said, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. The publican in his humility, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Which man was justified? As the parable goes on, not the Pharisee. Oh, yes, he worshiped God in his own way. He thanked God for what he had and was doing and was. The publican submitted himself into the hands of God. Then there was the account of the 10 lepers. We read about them in Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 18. We won't take time to read the entire passage, but Jesus Christ healed all 10 lepers. And they went their way, but one leper came back. And the Lord points out he was a Samaritan. And we know elsewhere the Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, outcasts, hated. But the Samaritan came back to the Lord. He was thankful. Thank you for healing me of my leprosy. Well, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath, without doubting. I will that men everywhere pray without doubting. Praise the Lord anyway. Give thanks to God for all things. I remember, I'm not sure if it's a painting or a saying or a story or what, but many years ago I heard of a man who was obviously destitute. He sat down at the table for his evening meal, and all he had was a crust of bread. And he said, what? Jesus Christ and this also? Praising God for what he had. But most of all, what he had was Jesus Christ. The faithfulness of God abounding in his heart. So we thank God anyway, accepting his will, not our own. Remember when Paul was on the way to Jerusalem, that final trip? He was warned everywhere that trouble was ahead. Evil will abide in you. They will attack you. They will arrest you. They will whip you. They may even kill you. You can't get out of this. Don't go. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord, to testify of the grace of God. What a verse. Acts 20, verse 24. Later on, not too much later, down the path a bit, Acts 21, 14. When they could not dissuade him from going to Jerusalem, this I take to be a very important phrase. The will of the Lord be done. Sounds like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but thine be done. And the people said that of the Apostle Paul. Okay, your mind is made up. You're bound in the Spirit. The will of God be done. And it was. It took a lot of suffering. You read from that portion on, where Paul was apprehended, beaten almost to death, until the Roman centurion, with his soldiers, rescued him from certain death, or as the Bible says, from being pulled in pieces. I'm going now to Acts 23:23, and to me this is thrilling. They found that Paul had no way of escape from the tyrannous Jewish mob. They were out for his blood, obviously. They wanted him dead. The Roman centurion, a Gentile, commanded that they get at night a group of Roman soldiers together. I say a group, listen to this. We find in Acts 23:23 a total of 200 foot soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen, a total of 470 Roman soldiers, along with the two centurions, to guard him and escort him from Jerusalem to Caesarea by night, spiriting him away from the angry Jewish mob. If God be for us, who can be against us? God's will be done? It was. The long story made short, he did get to Rome through much, much suffering, not to mention the 15 days on the angry sea of the Mediterranean. We learned early in our missionary life in the Philippines, whatever one does in God's will, whatever one does for his glory, God will provide. And he has. And he does. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. Can we do nothing else but to give thanks and praise God, from whom all blessings flow?